Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. Happy Monday to everybody out there. I got 60 minutes locked and loaded with y'all. We'll get into everything that we need as necessary. But I'm going to start the show off like this, Sports City. So just vibe with me. I need y'all to be with me here because this is like big, at least for me, because of a person that I, or people or a group of a setting of people that I know so well. Shout out to the Stanford High School women's basketball team. That's right. They got the state championship, and one of the coaches, he's been coaching there for 30 years, Kirk Tannen. I know him. He's very close to my family. Stanford High, in well over 100 years, Stanford High has been, since the 1800s, the women's basketball team has never won a state championship. But this is the first time that it ever happened. I definitely want to start off the show like that. Happy for them, proud for them. Big-time seniors leaving the school and still got some big promising girls coming back as well. So I'm happy that my, alma mater, even though it's women's basketball, was able to bring it back. But I respect every sport, every venue. I don't care if it's women's basketball. I mean, hell, it's in the same arena that the Connecticut Sun play ball, man. Man, we will get into it, man. I just wanted to send them their shout-out, man. I definitely had to get them their kudos for getting the job done, bringing it back home to Strawberry Hill. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. They got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs. And like I said, I had to give kudos to the high school. Definitely want to get into a lot of the topics that we have loaded for today's show, for a lot of the stuff that happened over the weekend and for this week to come. We're in front of, Good Friday, Easter weekend coming up. I mean, this is in the month of March is still bad. I mean, this month is still angry as ever. Still seeing buzzer beaters, still seeing people go home, not feeling some type of way, man. But we'll get into this as best as we see fit here in the kitchen. I got Chef Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the wrap up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. Congratulations on your high school winning the girls' state title.
And, I feel some type of way because, like, when I was in high school, like, of course, when I practiced ended, we would watch the girls because we was in class with these girls, what I'm saying? See them try to ball out. They couldn't really do what they did, get to the county championships and couldn't really bring it back home. So year after year and getting to this point in time in my age, seeing this go down, it's like, wow. Like still, you still respect athletes doing what they need to do, getting the job done, and it feels even better that you're a fan of it. Even though it's not like I go to Stanford High women's basketball games like that. I mean, I just went to this game. I can't even think back. I think it's probably since high school the last time I went to a girls' basketball game for my school. So it was like just going to see that old aura and the whole state in the middle of the arena / the casino up there to watch the girls bring it back home. And then, mind you, the championship was up against the the city border. It was like the city limits type of game because it was Stanford versus Greenwich. And I know everybody in the world heard of Greenwich, Connecticut. But if you didn't, just know that it's a big-time financial city. But, and Stanford and Greenwich border each other. So, I mean, one person was going to go to the same area of the state happy, somebody gonna go to the same area to stay mad, and thank goodness it was us going back happy. But we're gonna get into these topics, man. Like I said, I got a loaded show. I want to throw out a couple of topics. I got interesting topics that was actually addressed to me as of yesterday during the brunch. I definitely wanted to get out there to see how we felt about it because I didn't get to it. First and foremost, until they get here, I'll come to you first, Tommy. Your thoughts on the Adam LaRoche saga?
I think it's stupid, personally. I mean, okay, he retired because the White Sox wouldn't let his son in the dugout. Okay, does your son, I mean, I don't want to sound hateful, but if he wants to retire because of that, then okay. I mean, I don't know the whole situation. I mean, I don't know if Adam LaRoche is divorced or the mother can't take care of the son, so maybe that's why he has to have him in there. So I don't want to be harsh. I mean, I don't know, maybe he can't find a babysitter, so he's got to be the babysitter and play ball at the same time. I mean, I don't know the whole story. I mean, then you get the White Sox VP, what was it, VP president or something, make a mockery of it, kind of, and say, really, you're retired because your kid can't be in the dugout. So, I mean, I just think there's more to the story than they're all leaning on to. I mean, I don't know the whole story why. I mean, it's good. I mean, I don't know if you've seen what Dusty Baker put out there. He says if Alan Roach wants to come out of retirement and come to D.C., he's fine. He comes. He has no problem with his son being in the dugout and then laughs like he made a joke of it. I mean, you got to think this is the same Dusty Baker that during the World Series or the NLDS that had his son almost get planted at home plate. So I can see why you don't want kids in the dugout, but then I can see why you may want it just to have that your kids up around the sport and everything. I can see pros and I can see cons.
Now here goes an interesting situation. Adam LaRoche's son, guess how old he is?
He's like, I'm trying to think, because he was in D.C. Should he be like 8, 9?
His son is 14 years old. His son is a high schooler. I don't think he needs a babysitter. Secondly,
he must have got older from the last time I remember that.
His son is 14 years old. So I know he doesn't need a babysitter. Because if so, then, you know, God forbid that it does happen. I mean, I'm grown now. I'm knocking on wood. But my parents should have been in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Like, at 14, I was running around. And secondly, like, okay, he can't afford a babysitter. He got an MLB contract. I'm not even looking at his money situation. I just want to get generally to the meat and potatoes of the situation on why is it so severe that your son needs to be in the clubhouse. Now, I understand that, yeah, I could be able to take my son everywhere. I don't think my son will come up here and start, you know, robbing clothes or trying to take jerseys, that, you know, so on and so forth. But I think it's a situation they have to respect him to a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? And I think he told us on the guidelines before going that far into that situation. So that's something that they had to think about, you know. But for him to retire, and I think it's something that he'll probably look into in the month of July or August to try and come back. Because really, do you really want to hang it up where you don't really see, like, your physical gifts are gone? Like, did you not get enough rest up until this point? And another thing that I do want to add to this is the executive, you know, vice president, Kenny Williams, who has a laundry list of stuff in his MLB career as a player and as well as being a person that's upstairs in the front office as well. I mean, for him to walk away from this type of deal, a $25 million contract, says a lot on what's to come for the Chicago team. And not to say that the White Sox can't be competitive this year, but the AL Central is loaded. This is a division where they're going to have to take this serious. So I don't know if this is actually a fire starter, gets the team wound up to play better baseball, or if this is a situation that actually sets the Sox back even further than what they've been faced with. Okay, we do have Mrs. Silver in the building. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, I'm feeling good. just a fair warning, I am by the base, the Army base near my city, so if there's some helicopters or loud noises, sorry for that when I'm talking. You know, the whole situation with Adam LaRoche, now I'm not a White Sox fan, I'm not an Adam LaRoche fan in general, I know his career, things of that nature. The gist of the situation is that Adam LaRoche's son, who is a third-generation baseball player, who is a, you could call him a quote-unquote star on his baseball team, who has his own locker room, has his own locker in the locker room next to his father's in the clubhouse and is always there with shag balls for the team. Is a third-generation baseball player, knows the ins and outs of the game. Since he was been born, he's been in a club, in and around a clubhouse. Conversely speaking, his father, Adam, whose father was a Major League Baseball player, was also around the clubhouse. So, to me, this is a much ado about everything. This has internal discretion to up the wazoo. Here's how the synopsis of what I've got from the start of it, from what I've learned from reading most of the Chicago Tribune article and a couple articles around, Kenny Williams asked, because the quintessential part was Adam LaRoche's son is there 100% of the time. Every second that Adam LaRoche is there, his son is there. The conversation that happened was that he told Adam LaRoche that too much for his child to be in and around the clubhouse. If we can find a happy medium in between 0 and 50% around the time, then we can continue. Being Adam LaRoche, objected, and I think in good cause. It's something that this isn't just happening this year. This isn't something where his son, out of the spur of the moment, just started coming out of nowhere. Since day one, his son has been in and around the clubhouse with him when he's able, as far as I can go back to when he's able to walk and talk. And I know, obviously, when you're, you know, young, 6, 7, 8, that's probably not a locker room or an environment you want that child in. But, parenting is parenting. We all have our own way of doing it. That's how he's going to do it. Respectfully, I applaud his decision. The fact that Kenny Williams would come out and say things to the effect of, other teammates are causing a fuss, and then not only 24 hours to 48 hours later or after that, you've got two players coming out in defiance of Kenny Williams, saying that he is in the wrong. He's a liar and that they are behind Adam LaRoche and his decision to leave the game and his decision to leave. And I don't think it is to the effect of if my son can't come, I'm going to take my ball home and leave. I think it's more of there's a fundamental disliking and disagreement between Kenny Williams and the player Adam LaRoche. And maybe it was started when he didn't like the kid around. You know, this is where it gets to the effect that what I have read and my assumption and my opinion of this whole thing is, and as trivial as it may sound, Kenny Williams had a problem with the son being there and waited for one person or two people to maybe make a backhanded comment about someone's child being there and is using that as a leverage or as an excuse to say players don't want him in the locker room. Are there players in that locker room that still maybe a 14-year-old shouldn't be around them? Possibly. And of course, on the other side, there are players who have come out and said they have done nothing but enjoy Adam LaRoche's son's company. They have done nothing but enjoy the fact that he's there learning the game of baseball. And what really got me is the fact that when you write about a kid and we all go back to when we were young, could you imagine being 14, a huge baseball fan, and every day you're around baseball players? To me, I don't know if I could keep my cool and not bug every major league player I see and be on their nerves being a kid who's so curious. But for multiple players to come out and say he was a delight, he never got in my way, he never was a nuisance around us, and he did nothing but help us out when he could, if he could. And again, to me, it would make a lot more sense if this was a 6 or 7 year old, a 5 year old, and it was a spur of the moment. It was just happening now. It was just, you know, just beginning this spring that he was doing it. It would make more sense to me. The fact that it's been an ongoing thing for years, the fact that multiple players, probably majority of them, are with it and don't have a problem with it, I have a little problem. If you're going to come out and try and say players have a problem with it and then make up some cockamamie excuses, you know, I just can't dig that. So, Kenny's me. I'm not in that group that is with him saying the kid shouldn't be there. There are exceptions to the rule. In this case, him, Adam LaRoche, and his son are exceptions to the rule. And I think that they could have handled the situation with much more grace. I think internally this starts to eat them up a lot.
Okay. I mean, anything else before we get away from this? And I don't really want to look at this in a bad tone or a bad gesture. I'm just looking at it like this. He, you know, and playing the fifth in this situation now, he's been in that locker room, you know, more than 35% of the time. LaRoche can look at it like, you know what, go in the skybox and do whatever you want. Get two of your friends from school and do whatever you want. Like, is this the end all in the situation of your career? What's putting money on, you know, in your pocket and keeping the roof over there? And not to say that he's faced with that type of financial grind. He's not. He's not. I'm just saying that, you know, to a certain extent, like, let his kid has to go out there and be a kid. Enough of you being in the locker room now. And if it was 1 to 3 players, why can't they have their, you know, minds clear going in the locker room or going in the locker room and making sure that they're changing in another section of the locker room? Because this guy's son is in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to look at it from both perspectives, not all in front of the Adam LaRoche situation. What if he's not comfortable with a player on the team, and the player on the team is just being hateful, talking junk about his son? You know, like, that all comes into play. That clubhouse ain't been tight since they won the World Series back in 06. Like, let's be honest, Chicago's been in an uproar. They lost Guillen. Like, they're in between managers and stuff. Like, the White Sox aren't, you know, a promising team for tomorrow, unless this right here lights a fire under the White Sox. I'm guessing that it will, because now a lot of people are going to look at them like this could be a setback, that they're losing a quality starter, you know? I mean, I throw that out there to play defense. I mean, I want to see how you guys feel about that. Tommy, your thoughts?
I mean, I don't know the whole thing about the White Sox, but being as a Nationals fan, living an hour outside of D.C., going to national games when Adam LaRoche played in D.C. for, I think, 3 years, might have been 2. His son was always there. When Adam LaRoche was warming up pregame and everything, his son was there warming up with him and throwing ball with Ryan Zimmerman or Desmond or his father or something. It seemed like they all liked that. I don't know if the White Sox had promised last year to make the playoffs, to make the deep run. All you heard, the White Sox could do this, the White Sox could do that, and they collapsed. They couldn't, that only, if I remember correctly, they didn't even finish over 500.
Right.
I'm wondering if that has something to do with it.
Okay.
You're right. You know, the thing is the problem I see with that, or not the problem, but the issue I have with the White Sox is, yeah, okay, those 1 or 3 players, you know, and I get it. Sometimes this is an adult professional setting. These are men that we all know the verbiage that goes on inside of clubhouses, and I understand if 1 or 2 guys or 3 guys coming in couldn't feel that they could be themselves around this kid. My problem with the situation is, you went above so many heads going to Williams to get this out, which is why I don't feel like there's any truth to what Williams is saying, that anyone had a problem with it, is because you went over everyone. One, and again, Ty, I understand, I'm a father, If someone walks up to me in a setting and says something about my child, the first thing most people do is get defensive. I understand. So maybe not going to Adam is probably not the best thing to do right off the bat. But maybe Adam and the manager. Maybe, you know, Adam and get someone from the office. I think, to me, there was too much head jumping over, you know, would it be the commanding person above you to go straight up to the VP. It rings too much of, I think he was trying to do something sneakily, just get it out of the way. Maybe he doesn't like it. So to me, I understand what you're saying. There could be a couple guys, but I think from the jump, it smelled fishy. Like you said, this locker room is already not one to be stuck like glue. And you say burn a fire. I say this is a wildfire in the middle that just burns the locker room to the ground. Now you've got your VP coming out and saying players were against it. You've got two guys in the next 48 hours building pretty much mini shrines to the kid, saying that Williams is a liar and it has nothing to do with anything, and we lost a player because of this guy. That's where I think it's going to go for this team. I think Chicago is on the way down, trending downward, and this makes it even worse. Now you've got turmoil and quote-unquote backstabbing and hearsay. Who's the first guy to come out that says, I didn't want the son there? I think that's where it's key. Because if we don't see anyone other than Williams come out and say it, I think it's too fishy for me.
They can't come out and say that. They have to keep that, as classified as possible. I mean, none of those guys are going to come out like that. And knowing that whoever probably went in the front office to go ahead and speak to Kenny Williams in that manner probably, you know, spoke to him before they were even came to the office, you know, came to the field, and made it a situation where he called them upstairs and had that conversation and talked about it. All these things happen. This is a workplace for these guys. This is these guys, you know, livelihood. They have to be comfortable at work. They can't have a child at work every day. You know what I'm saying? And not to say, like, that's a bad thing or trying to play against it. I'm just saying, in general, like, they may have a situation how they get started in a game and they not getting ready the way they want to. This could be a hindrance for them. You know what I'm saying? I'm just playing with the scenario, like both sides.
Yeah,
I respect LaRoche for the retirement, but I also look at it, you know, LaRoche ain't, you know, in his high 30s, you know, 40s to be hanging it up at the end of the day. So that's what I'm looking at. Like, okay, he's going to be 37 in November. He's played 12 years. I mean, he's had a good stint playing baseball in the league. I still feel like he may have another 3 years left to play until 40. He's not playing football. He's not getting hit. He's pitching.
Ty, again, I don't know baseball as well. I know how football, Calvin retired. I know next year if he comes back, the Lions have his rights. Is it the same in baseball? Could this be something where LaRoche is just trying to get away from Chicago? And this was the last straw in a bunch of straws in a cup. And now he's like, all right, I'm done. Give me a year off, and I'll come back and I'll play for another team. Is that possible? Or is this like the NFL where if he tries to come back, the White Sox own him, quote unquote?
I think the White Sox will play hardball with him, no pun intended, making it hard for him to get back into the game. But I don't think it's a situation where it's comparable to what Calvin was going through up until Adam LaRoche. This is a simple retirement on perspective. This is perspective. This isn't play on the field. A lot of people tied Calvin's retirement into the injury that he was receiving. How many times he was injured over the past four seasons?
I wasn't trying to compare the two. I was asking if MLB contracts are the same as NFL, where if you retire and you're still under contract, when you come back, does Chicago still own his rights to where he can't, if he leaves for a year or maybe 6 months and comes back in the middle of the year or whatever, how does that work out with MLB contracts? That's what I was asking. I know it's two different mediums with the players themselves, but the organization in which they play for is what I was really asking.
I don't know the stipulations on the contract, but I'm pretty sure that's probably I'm pretty sure that's probably what would be enticing if they would want to release him or waive him, actually, and see if somebody will pick him up. I'm not certain on everything that's lined up in his contract. But, Tommy, I heard you trying to speak in the back.
You got to understand how many years this has been going on. I mean, Griffey Jr., my favorite baseball player of all time. I mean, used to bring his son. I mean, it's been going on for years. I mean, Prince Fielder brings his son. I mean, there's people, players in D.C. that bring their sons that are actually bad boys. I mean, it's just been going on for years. I just think it's funny how all of a sudden the White Sox have a problem with it.
Again, and I'll say this one last thing before if you want to jump away from it, but, you know, we heard that players had a problem with the kid, and we always jumped to that maybe the kid was the problem. Maybe the players were the problem, and they were, I don't hate to use this word a bit with grown men, but jealous of the fact that Adam LaRoche's son had his own locker, got pretty special treatment, was there every day, and maybe someone else wanted to bring their own child, and they didn't feel comfortable. Again, I don't know if that was the case, but that's also something you have to look at. You said, and Tommy hit on the head, this has been happening for years on years on years with multiple players across all teams, and now Chicago has a problem with it. I think for me what I feel is that maybe it was a little bit of jealousy from another player having children and seeing the if you want to call it, preferential treatment that Adam LaRoche and his son got. Again, he had his own locker. He had his own jersey. He was set up almost like a mini player. And that could rub some players the wrong way. Like, why can't my son be here? Why can't my son get his own jersey, his own locker, be here every day? So maybe that was it too.
Yeah, but that happens with all your star players. Griffey Jr.'s son did. If you remember back when Barry Bonds was chasing the record, the 72, the breakout, look at his son. His son had his own locker. His son had his own TV, or whatever the game system was back then. Everything.
Mm.
It goes on with all star players.
What I really want to know is if everybody on this team, they don't allow the kids to come in there. If he's the only player on that roster that has his son coming in there, then okay. Then I'll feel some type of way. But if everybody else on that team has a child or a son or a daughter coming in that locker room, then there's smoke there. But if he's the only one, then I can see probably where they could be building up a little campfire on the situation. But, you know, I think more has to come out about this. I know we've got, a couple of, speeches or segues about this, one from LaRoche, one from Chris Sale speaking up. You also have Reinsdorf actually coming out speaking as well. So I think more has to come out from this situation, but it's a very questionable retirement. And I don't think it's because of his status on the field has declined or things of that nature. I think it's more or less a situation where, I'm going to be honest, I think a lot of people are tired of Kenny Williams' antics and how far he's come in his MLB career, just to be honest. I know that both of you had topics that you guys wanted to get out here today. Nacho, I'll go to you first. Anything that you brought to the wrap-up that you would like to discuss before I get into some of the topics of the day?
I did have one. It was a boxing topic. It was real quick. I just wanted to speak on Roy Jones Jr. And the sad display of I need money and I need a limelight that he took over the weekend fighting a fan. Yes, that's correct. He fought a fan. There was a quote-unquote contest for you to fight Roy Jones Jr., and if you beat him, you would win $100,000. Now, there was a contest that I made where other fans were fighting each other in an opportunity to get this fight. And when it was all said and done, Roy Jones Jr. had an opponent over the weekend. I knocked him out in the second round. It was just really sad to watch. Chandler brings up Willie Mays and what he looked like. It was a very slow, very mediocre, very disappointing Roy Jones Jr. To watch walk out there and beat up a fan. who had some boxing skills. Don't get me wrong, he wasn't a guy just walking off the street throwing on gloves. But he was no professional boxer to speak of what in any kind of light. It just really disappointed me that Roy Jones is taking this route, whether it's to cling on to staying in the ring or little bit of limelight or just making money. I don't know, but it was just a sad sight to watch. I don't know if either of you watched it or not, but this is another case where we see, like a Peyton Manning, who kind of was forced, or other players who just stay too long. And others, I think we're seeing a guy now in Roy Jones Jr. who is, I hate to say it, but set on damaging himself physically. And I just don't see this being any good for the sport or for him. That was all I really had in the way of that. But if, I don't know if you guys caught it or anything, or if you guys want to, talk about the situation. But I just, at some point, do we as, fans, or do organizations, whether it be boxing, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, step in and forcefully retire people that we see are going to be worse off than when they started?
I didn't see the whole fight. I seen the ending on when he knocked the guy out. Now, the guy that he fought was a quote-unquote former MMA fighter, but he's a fan of Roy Jones, and they ended up fighting. One, Roy Jones, stop. Like, stop. Your last fight professionally, you got knocked out by a no-namer. Overseas, you have to go fight overseas. You can't even fight in the U.S. anymore. Nobody wants to buy your ticket. If you fought in the U.S., people would laugh. People would laugh. You sit up there, and I don't know how, not so you can say he needs money. He still announces for HBO. He was a Jordan athlete.
Yeah.
Right? So he was getting money for Michael Jordan wearing Jordan stuff. So I don't know. If Roy Jones is broke, geez, I wonder what you were doing. I wonder what you were doing. Now, okay. Now, he knocked this guy out, of course. You're a professional boxer. You got registered hands. You, as a boxer, your hands are weapons. Your hands are weapons. Like you better be able to take care of this guy. You're in your late 40s, if not close to 50. Come on. There's too much here for me to just, like, shake my head at. I don't even want to say, like, I'm laughing at it, because it's a laughable situation, but I don't laugh at it. It's corny to me. To be brutally honest, it's absolutely corny. Roy Jones, stop boxing. There are guys that have left the sport before you, or before your age or where you are, and are satisfied with what they've done in the ring. At least Bernard Hopkins, who is older than you, still looks competitive in the ring. Even though his last fight against Kovalev, he didn't look good in that fight, but Bernard still does work in the ring. You are still trying to pull out that flashy boxer that nobody's watching right now. Nobody's watching it. I can tell you probably 35% of the people that I know that like boxing could care less on Roy Jones in that fight. Honest. I don't even look at this as a competitive nature type of bout. Like, this is an exhibition situation. This is if you ever seen Rocky III, this is Rocky versus Hulk Hogan. What's going to happen? You got a boxer against somebody that's trying to be brute in the ring. Like, stop. It's just me. It's just me. But Roy Jones, I'm not thrilled with what antics you're going through to be relevant in a boxing ring. Tommy, anything that you like to say about it before we get away from it?
You said it. You kind of went to it, then discarded it. I didn't see it, didn't know anything about it. I used to be a big Roy Jones Jr. fan when he was boxing. After he left, that's when boxing left me. I don't watch it anymore. Don't care about it. But I think he is dead broke. And it hasn't come out that he is bankrupt. He probably, if you remember his whole career, he tried to rap. Remember the rap CD he put out? And the music that he, the company and everything else? And then, of course, he blew that money. It got out. I think he is dead broke. And I'm going to tell you another boxer that's headed down the same path. Oh, sweet. Him just, dude that you like, Ty. What's his name again? Floyd Mayweather. He's going down the same path. Give him about another 5 years, he's going to be dead broke and filing for bankruptcy.
We'll see if Floyd goes through that. If Floyd burns all his money, it's clearly going to be strictly off of him gambling out there and losing the string of bets. But he got over 600. And he's still relevant in boxing, even though his boxers aren't as big as him. But he has his Mayweather promotions. He has boxers that are underneath him. So he'll still be trying to generate money in that respect. And he's already trying to
give an extra. Yeah, but he's spending all that money on these cars that he's going to. Watch and see. Right. The IRS is going to catch up with him.
I mean, catch up. He could pay a bill. he ain't worried about money right now. Like, do you know that last time Pacquiao just told him 200 something million? Like, I don't know if he's concerned about money right now. Like, that's part of the burn. Like, especially in a 5-year window. But like I said, he have to literally be losing a ton of bets for him to be looking at a bankruptcy situation. He'd have to. He's already gave an inkling that he's going to come back. He's already looking like he's already made the statement, well, if I do come back, this is who I want to fight. Like, he's already saying that type of stuff. So you already got an inkling that Floyd is playing around with this retirement. It just depends on how long he sits out and plays this game.
We all know this. This is Floyd. Yeah, he takes a break, spends the majority of his money, realizes it's running low. He comes back and I take a couple fights. So, Tommy, I understand where you're coming from, because when you're fighting twice a year and you're making that much money and then it's gone and you're trying to depend on your own boxers who not a one has even half of the amount of skill that you put in the ring and half the amount of draw or half the amount of money. And when we talk about money, they don't even have like an eighth amount that they pull in compared to what he was pulling in. So when you have no one, I get what you're coming at, because his income in the in what we're used to 30, 40 million a fight. He had the one huge fight that did everything for him, but generally speaking, it was between 20 to 40 million a fight. And now that's gone, and you're still living like you're making 20, 40 million every 6 months, and you're not. So I understand where Tommy's coming from. Because when you still got multiple houses, you're buying million-dollar cars every other weekend, and you're doing things like that, it does seem to say that you're just frugally spending money when you know there's no coming in to the effect that you were bringing in. I get what he's saying there, but Ty hit it on the head. The inklings have been spread that he wants to come back. So maybe the money is getting low, so he's got to come back and you know, make some more. But yeah, I don't think he's going to go broke as soon, maybe, Tom, as you think, maybe 5 years. But let him fully retire and let him fully be done with the sport and try to still live like he's living now. You know, it's not going to work when you spend 20, 30 million in 6 months.
Okay, Tom, anything else before we get away from this subject?
Nah.
Okay, I know there was a topic that you'd like to touch on. Have at it.
Yeah, Saturday, when everybody else was watching the NBA game that was televised, the Warriors and Spurs, I was keeping an eye close with the Cavaliers and Heat, where they played in Miami, and it was a blowout. Miami blew Cleveland off the floor. At one time, they were up 30-some points. Ty Macho is the – and this is without Bosch. And who knows when Bosch is coming back, if Bosch comes back. And remember, Ty, I said watch out if Joe Johnson gets to Miami. That's where I said he would go, because Pat Riley had a plan. And right now, if I remember correctly, they're in the fourth seed, right? The Heat or the fifth seed?
I'm pretty sure they are in the fourth or fifth seed. And it's jam-packed as I'm pulling up the standings right now. But
that would mean they would play – they're in the fifth seed, because I think the Hawks have the fourth seed right now.
They're fourth right now, the Heat. The Heat are in fourth place.
So that would mean they would play the five seed, and then the five seed would play the one seed in the second round. That would be Cleveland.
Right.
What are the chances Cleveland don't even come out of the East?
I'm telling you,
watch out for Miami.
Keep going.
I mean, if they can get Boss back, and this stuff with and Stephen A. hit it right on the dot. If LeBron don't stop being buddy buddies when he goes down there in Miami, and don't get that Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant killer in him when he goes down there and he plays D Wade, he could get bounced in the second round. And I agree. And then this is what's gonna happen. LeBron's going to want that whole roster fired or get these new players, or he's going back to Miami and win another championship.
Okay, and to answer one quickly, I really don't think there's a team suited to knock off the Cavaliers in a seven-game series in the Eastern Conference. I feel like the Cavaliers will end up getting back to the NBA Finals again. I really do. But it's interesting. You know, you look at the Heat or Boston, because Boston's at the fifth seed. A lot of things can change how tightly packed this situation is. But the way that the Heat, and I agree with you, if the Heat are able to take care of business up against the Cavaliers without Chris Bosh, my one question still remains is if they can get defensive stops. Of course they can play offense and score the ball. But can they make things happen defensively? If they can, they'd be a very hard team to beat. I don't care who it is. Nato, your thoughts on the situation where Cleveland got tortured by the Heat?
Tommy, you have a strong will. With all those college games going on and the Spurs-Warriors game going on, and you had a keen eye to go check out the Miami-Cleveland game. You know, big ups to you, brother. But to me, it is a great, great observation by him, and it's a great observation by all of us to sit here and look at this team that did dominate Cleveland. To me, right now, you've got 3, 4, 5, and 6, Atlanta, Miami, Boston, and Charlotte, separated by a game and a half. That is really tight. That is really close. And with so little basketball left, it's going to be a very interesting to see, because we can even see Miami jump up and grab that 3 spot. It could be very, very interesting to see how that works out towards, you know, once again, towards April 17th. The thing about Miami to me is they know LeBron. They know his tendencies. They know what he likes to do. They know him. And Dwayne Wade knows him. And you want to say that he doesn't have the killer instinct when he plays his friends? I just don't see that. I don't think that maybe – I'm not a big proponent of, because you're playing your friend, you're not going to try to beat them. I grew up in an era where your friends you never lost to. You know, you can lose to some random guy that walks off the street because you don't know what he does for a living. You don't know if he does whatever he does on his spare time, but you know your friends, and you know that you want to beat them every time because you're better than them. So I don't buy that, you know, he's playing his friend so he takes it easy on him type of deal. Again, you know, Tommy, check your source on that one when you talk about that. But I really just I feel that this is the team to take out Cleveland and Miami. This is a team that is ready to go with the Dragons. Hassan Whiteside, with Dwayne Wade and the rest of those pieces, get a Chris Bosh back, get him back healthy. This is a team that I feel in, still want in Cleveland and win the 3 at home. Will it be in a row? I'm very positive it won't. It will probably be a 7-game full series, but it's something that I think that Miami can definitely do. And I'm not counting anyone out. To me, you want to start the season off with what I thought would be a Cleveland, you know, reunion in the finals with whoever the West brings out. Now, to me, the East is wide open. I don't care that they're 8 to 9 games in first place. I know they're only 1 game in first place above the Raptors, but after that, it's a 9-game spread. I don't care about that. They're not 9 games better than the 3rd or 4th or 15 to me. LeBron does make up a good you know, a good aspect of the game. And, of course, you can account for him, and he's going to get his dues. He's going to average what he averages because that's just LeBron. But I think a team game and this team aspect, I know 1 out of 5 is so huge. I think 3 or 4 out of 5 with the Miami Heat can do it. And I think they can take him out in the second round. The issue I would see with that is, you know, I can't remember how the playoff brackets lay out. But if they're the 3, they might not be able to see them, if I'm not mistaken, till the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know how that works precisely or not, but it is going to be interesting when they get them, because I honestly think, and this is where it gets kind of iffy, and I feel like I'm on the fence. I think if they get LeBron in round 2, they are going to take him out. I think that is a very good opportunity. But I think you get LeBron so close to the finals, he'll score 50, get 10 rebounds, and get 12 assists in every single game when he's that close to the finals. Now, what he does in the finals is in and of itself. But that Eastern Conference Finals series, whenever it was, he's been able to show up time and time again. I think if they get him in the second round, being one more round away from the advantage of maybe him not having that killer instinct because the finals aren't right there. I think that's the only time that maybe they could get in there and step on the throat of Cleveland and win. But to me, the East is wide open. This isn't Cleveland's to win or lose anymore.
Okay, fair enough. Tom, anything else that you'd like to say around this before we get away from it?
The only thing that worries me with that Heat in Cleveland, if it would match up, is they could go at it so hard. The Heat could go after it so hard to beat LeBron and say, yeah, see, you can't do it without us. Say like it is in the second round. They go to the third round and just be exhausted and tired, and they not even look the same. Or even Cleveland. Cleveland could try so hard, and LeBron could try so hard, and then get, like, I don't know, Boston or Toronto, and it not be there because they're so tired. Because that could go. I really think that'll go a 7-game series.
I mean, if everything were to stop as of today, they'd be faced with the Chicago Bulls, which would be interesting in itself. But no matter what team I log up with, I just don't feel like they have the weapons to take care of Kyrie and LeBron at the same time. I still think that both of these guys could power through the Eastern Conference once again. All right. I have several topics that I wanted to get to. I know we're limited on time. One was Jamie Dixon moving from Pittsburgh to TCU. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a Big East guy, and I love and respect Jamie Dixon. Even though when Georgetown played Pittsburgh, I can't stand him, because we always end up having an epic matchup. But for him to leave Pittsburgh and go to TCU, where I think he had more potential to get a lot of the quality basketball players, especially a lot of the guards that he groomed out of New York City, it says a lot about what's going on in Pittsburgh. I'm keeping a close eye on that to see if Pittsburgh ends up falling. The Dwight Howard madness, what we talked about yesterday, he's actually come out with a statement basically seeming like he's pissed off that people are saying he's a cheater. And there's been a lot of people that have been coming out speaking on, but why is he using Stickum if he's already having trouble shooting free throws? Interesting stuff. There was one more that I wanted to get to, and that was Anthony Davis, a.k.a. The Brow, the man down there in New Orleans, has been shut down for the season. Now, this is a situation where New Orleans is one of the teams that's at the bottom of the Western Conference. They're 26-43. We had Chandler in the kitchen stating that Alvin Gentry will watch this all fall apart, and he was nothing short of that by stating that. Anthony Davis being shut down at this portion of the time of the season, I agree with, because there's nothing left for them to compete for, nothing to compete for a playoff spot or, you know, a better time at the NBA draft. I want to see how you guys feel about basically an injured and tired Anthony Davis. You know what, Nacho, I'll come to you first.
To me, it's sad. And the only reason I call it sad is because this is a team and a player who last year, you know, took us by surprise, and not in the sense that he could play, because we all know he could play, but the way he was playing, the way he was dominating, and the way that we thought the way that the voices out of that locker room, whether it be the head coach or the other teammates or him himself, Anthony Davis, this was going to be a completely different team this year and win games probably, and they have been nothing of the sort. So it is sad for me to see him go down, but it is very interesting every aspect or everything that's in and around this situation. Because I hear, and again, I'm not a huge fan of Anthony Davis or that team, but I hear it's more than one. I think it's more, I know he's undergoing the knee surgery, but it's more than one injury that they're worried about. And that's what's more interesting and more scary and sad, is because we may see, hopefully this is not the case, but an extremely talented player fight through injuries and probably never have any help and play on a losing team, when we all know if he had just a little bit of help or a coach that knew what he was doing, he could be on a playoff contending team year in and year out and be helpful. But because they're going to ask so much of him, because he's going to be that number one guy with no help and a coach that right now doesn't seem to know what he's doing, it may send Anthony down the wrong path of losing, and it's not something that I want to see, especially for a player with the caliber of talent that he has, and just the way that he could have been able to dominate and take over the league as one of the new crop of talents. And now we may see it plagued with injury, not because he is, to me, this may be a case where not because he's injury prone, but because of a team that has so much of someone, because of a team that has so much of a player, that may be his doing it. But it is a sad situation. But as it goes for the Pelicans and their team and what it means for them going forward the rest of this year, it really isn't a miss situation. It really isn't a hit or miss situation. It's just, it is what it is. They weren't going to make the playoffs. They weren't going anywhere. And you shut them down and you get them healthy and ready for next year. But hopefully they can do something, get him talent around him, get him some real star power talent besides him. And maybe, I'm not calling for anyone's head, but maybe get a new coach in there that knows what he's doing, can turn it around and start to figure it out. But it is a sad situation for the player and Anthony Davis and being so talented and having to go down with an injury.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on the torn labrum? It's a tear in his shoulder for Anthony Davis. They're also saying that he is going to miss the Olympics as well this summer. Your thoughts on Anthony Davis being shut down for the remainder of the season?
I can see it being the smart thing to do, so he can go ahead and get the surgery, get the shoulder healed, get through rehab before training camp and all starts again for next season. But like Nacho hit on, with them asking him so much to do, he could possibly have injuries. I mean, I'm glad, because at first, like Nacho said, I thought it was going to hit his knees or legs or feet, because I was supposed to go on, but that doesn't, since it's the shoulder. I knew, I didn't get to see what was hurt. I just took it as he's a big man. I mean, I can relate being big, so tall and big. It's always knees or back or leg or something lower that goes first. But, I mean, the shoulder, I've had shoulder injuries. As long as it's rehab, fine, he should be fine. But he's going to have to do everything they ask you to do in the rehab. I can see it being smart. But, I mean, go ahead and get him back healthy, and hopefully he's able to start when the season starts in October of next year.
Okay, I don't know what to say. I mean, even if they won out, if New Orleans was to win the rest of their games, they'd still be two games under 500 at the end of the season. So it's best for them to shut him down, especially after the contract he signed last year. What did he sign? It was a 5-year for $135 million, something like that in that ballpark. I mean, they have a lot of money invested in this guy. They got to make sure that they do see a tomorrow out of him before they see him with a catastrophic injury that hasn't gotten better for quite some time. They said that this shoulder has been bothering him for the past couple of days also. So I think he was gutting it out and trying to stick it out for the team, and the team had to say, well, we're not going to get as far as we did last year, so it's best that we sit on you and wait for you to come back for next October, November, and be ready for the Western Conference again. The Western Conference is a grind. He's a power forward and has to do so much work. And just like you said, too, I think Nato said it, how much did the New Orleans Pelicans want from him at the end of the day? They want him to go out there and block shots, rebound, score, shoot threes. Like, he's 6'11". He's supposed to be in the paint. I mean, it's so much that they ask out of him. I think they are going to end up burning him out. We are at the tail end of the show. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. Save a lot of it, what I have for the cookout, and it'll be better situated for the cookout also. I know that we have time restraints on some people here, so that's great. But we basically got to the end of the show. I need a plug closeout from each of you. I'll start with you first, Tommy. Give me a plug closeout shout-out. Anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the wrap-up.
Yeah, good show. I'll be back tomorrow night. I'm going to talk about something with the NCAA. They say grades are important in college and everything else. The NBA has got to do something with this one-and-done shit. There was reports that Ben Simmons was failing, okay? Failing every class that he was doing. So he wasn't eligible for any awards, of the postseason awards. So you're telling me since he wasn't eligible for any of the postseason awards, he can still play. The NBA needs to do it, have a rule. But the NBA is the one that's got to do it, I believe. They need to make a rule, just like the MLB. You can come to the league, or if you go to the season, if you go to college, you have to stay until at least your junior year. Because this is a mockery. They don't even go to class, or they'll show up and sit there and listen to their MP3 player, or text, or get on Twitter or Facebook, or whatever they do. And then they go to practice and everything. When you got a walk-on that goes to practice, busts his ass, then has to test that he's got to go to study for, and then he doesn't even get to play during the games unless it's a blowout. Either way, something's got to be done because it's a mockery.
We're saving that for the cookout. Save it for the cookout. I mean, I got a whole bunch of perspectives on that. That's going to be great talk. Mr. Silva, I need a plug, closeout, shout-out, and we shut it down here at the roundup.
You know, I had Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I know tomorrow 44 seconds will be a huge topic, and I know a bunch of that other stuff, so I'm going to be excited. I'll be ready to go, and I'll be raring tomorrow. Tommy, you started something with me. That was something I was going to bring up tomorrow. I'm glad you brought it up today. We will dive in that tomorrow. I hope Ty's ready for a three-hour show because it's going to go down. Other than that, man, it was a great show today. Like Ty said, Roy Jones Jr., hang him up and stop. Other than that, there's some good key fights coming up in MMA and UFC 200. If they don't stop playing with my emotions and keep pretending that certain matches are coming and these certain talks are coming and yada, yada, yada. When there is a permanent card for 200, then tell me. Quit telling me all the fantasies that Dana White wants to put out because it's starting to make me mad and irritate me. I get so excited about a match and it's just Dana White, creaming his pants on TV for nothing. Other than that, man, it was a great show. Awesome. Ty, Tommy, thanks. I'll see you tomorrow. It's just, it's a good day, man. It's a good day. Thank you guys so much.
Just breaking news. Nick Young and Jordan Clarkson in a sexual harassment case. Like, you guys got
Jesus.
To be kidding me. Like, seriously? That cookout stuff, I just got tagged with another link saying that Bill Belichick has contacted Calvin Johnson and Calvin has replied. If Calvin ends up going to New England, I'm not watching football no more. But here goes the great thing about it. They have to go through Detroit first before Calvin gets let go in that regard. So if we're giving you Calvin, I want Brady. Point blank, period. If y'all getting Calvin, I want Brady. That's my freedom. I'm sticking to it. Matter of fact, I'll give you a package deal. I'll give you Stafford. and Calvin. You just give me Brady, and we'll work with what we got. That's all I'm taking. Hey, fine. If you want to do,
those
you can
two
do
Ty,
that.
With those two, wait, Ty, with wait. Those two you brought up, plus whatever. Tomorrow, I need the start off song to be Gilligan's Island, because we're about to go on a 3-hour tour tomorrow. I'm telling you.
Hey, I just got tagged with this. I was doing the show, you know. They just tagged me, and they just got me and hit up with all types of stuff. Like, what? And I'm looking at this picture. They got Calvin in red, white, and blue. I'm like, if that happens, I'm only a state away. All I got to do is get on I-95 or I-91. I'm in Massachusetts. Y'all will not be safe. It might not be no more Sports City. I will tell y'all this right now. Calvin is a kid. You think it's funny? You think it's funny? I will be up there in trouble. Okay? Unless I can get away with it. But I will. There will no more.
I don't have the money to bail your ass out, so you'll have to sit there.
Leave me alone. Tommy, leave me alone. Don't even bail me out. I'll be in court admitting it. I'll admit it. I'll be up there and be like, I did it. I ain't even going to run. Look. That's unnecessary. That's unnecessary at Brady Mead Calvin. Like, oh, yeah, right. Don't do this. I hope this is a fake link. I have to read into it. They're lucky I'm on the show so I can keep my cool here. Cook out tomorrow. You will hear more about this as I read into it. I hope I read some fake stuff so I can laugh. I need to laugh because right now I almost got a tear in my eye. I've seen Barry do this to me in my senior year of high school. I can't watch Calvin do this now. I can't do this. No. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chefs. Like I said, we'll be back here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. Get back in the kitchen. We are so focused. A lot of good stuff going around. We even got this baseball coming back around, too. We're in front of Easter weekend, too. So y'all stay tuned, man. Sports City got a lot going on. I spilled the rest of what I got out at the cookout, man. And I feel bad about the cookout because during the show, the Rockets and the Thunder play, but James Harden may sit out because of a rolled ankle. And guess who else may sit out that game? Kevin Durant may end up sitting out of that game, too. So a lot of stuff is happening, man. I'm feeling some type of way, man. Other than December, y'all know I'm a December guy, so, you know, I love to hear that most wonderful time. I think March might be second place. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again, and if they don't know, now they know.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. Now, Block, Tim, who got the cocaine? Don't tell me it's the little kids on the boat train. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places.